The Scots, they feed the teenagers all the time. So, but they don't just feed our teenagers and our college students. They have people from their neighborhood over to sit at table with them. Sometimes it's little kids who haven't eaten that day and they're hungry. Sometimes it's families. But the Scots get it. They get what it means to be missionary eaters, to have people over. Hillary and Ken have some neighbors, some lesbian neighbors, who are far from God. And Hillary and Ken have gone out of their way to invite them to come and sit at table with them. Just about lately, anytime I've been over there and with some of you for 4th of July or Memorial Day or whatever, there they are. They're there. That is missional eating. Do Ken and Hillary value them? Yes. Do they hold them up as somebody that needs love? Yes. Do they agree with their lifestyle? No. That sounds like Jesus to me. Jesus was a missional eater. Aren't you glad that Jesus eats with sinners? Kind of hard to see that, but that is by an artist named Dinah Goldstein, and it's called East Vancouver. And the people up there, there's beer all over the table. These are people who are pretty rough looking. I think if Jesus were walking on earth today, that's who he'd be with. That doesn't look like my table in my house. Does it look like yours? I mean, we usually invite people to our table who are friends with us already, yes? People we already know love us and care for us, and we love and care for them. We love being together. When we have our growth groups, our small groups that meet throughout the week in people's homes, we love being with each other. We love the fellowship. A lot of times we have meals together. We share a meal, and we love it. How can we turn our family table, our growth group table, your lunch table on a work day or a school day, in the cafeteria at school, how can we change those tables into missionary meals, missional meals? I'm glad Jesus eats with sinners. And right now, Jesus is sitting at your table. And he wants to eat with you. In fact, Jesus wants to be your host. He wants to serve you the meal. He wants to eat with you this meal. And he is the meal. And we're going to take communion together now. So if you need to pour some more juice, go ahead and do that. And there's a plate on your table that has a napkin over it. That is the bread for today. There's plenty of bread, so don't just take a little bitty tiny pinch. Grab some bread. Tear it off. Go ahead and start serving each other. This is not as good as Corbin and Stacy's and Felicia's homemade bread we had Wednesday night. As you're passing that around, allow me to pray. Father God, Jesus, thank you for meeting us at these tables. Thank you, Lord, that you are serving, you're providing this meal. Thank you, Lord, that you, I don't understand this, it's a mystery, but somehow you are eating with us. And somehow you're present here. And somehow you are in this bread and juice. Somehow, mysteriously, these things represent you. You call yourself the bread of life. And I can't get my mind around what really happens at this table, and that's okay. We just want to give you thanks, Lord. Thanks for your life on earth, how you chose to eat with sinners. Thank you for dying for us and raising from the dead and giving us hope for salvation, hope for eternal life, and restoring us to our Heavenly Father and making us one. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your great, tremendous blessings. And be with us right now as we take the bread and drink the juice, remembering you and discerning the body of Christ as we take together, loving on each other. I pray this through Christ's name. Amen. While you're taking, I'm going to give you a minute or two. If you want to speak a blessing to someone, you can get up and move around if you want. Or you can just lean over and say, you know what, I really appreciate you. I appreciate you for blank, okay? Or you come up with your own little saying. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to just talk a little bit. If you want to say a prayer with each other, you pray over each other. That'd be great too. One day, we're going to sit at the welcome table, and we're going to feast on milk and honey, or steak, or whatever it is that you want. And Jesus is going to be our host. And it won't be this mystery of, how is he here? I don't see him. He's going to be there. And we're going to be in his presence at his table. That's going to be a big table, isn't it? Yes, Jesus loves to eat with sinners. I'm so glad he loves to eat with me. Jesus was a missional eater. And you and I are also called to live out the same thing he did, but to bless people by spending time with them eating. This is the Jesus mission of the world is to bless the world. And one of the ways to bless the world is to eat with them. All we have to do is follow the example of Jesus. Here's a quote by Alan Hirsch that I really like. It talks about the ministry of eating. It's kind of a long quote, so hang in there. Sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Now, just pause there. How often do we consider eating a sacred practice? If you're like me, not very often. It is one of the most sacred things that we can do. Missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. We can literally, I love this, we can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. If every Christian household, think about this, whoo, what would happen? If every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating. If every Christian did this, what kind of a different place would we live in? Here's another quote from Sidney Mintz, who's an anthropology professor at Johns Hopkins University. He says, interaction over food is the single most important feature of socialization. The food becomes the carriage that conveys feelings back and forth. I totally agree with that. Can we change the world by eating? I think we can. We can change one person's world, or two, or three, or four. You got to love that idea of changing the world by eating. But some of you may be thinking, I don't have time for that. I mean, I told you how quickly I eat my meals, and I cram them in the little spaces of free time I have during the day. You say, I don't have time. To that, I would say, you might not need any more time. I mean, you eat every day, right? Does anybody here not eat every day? Unless you're fasting for a spiritual reason? You eat, and most of us eat three meals. Some eat more than three meals a day. You're already eating. It may take a little extra time. It's definitely going to take a little bit more effort to get away from the fast food drive-thru and sit with someone and eat. We can make the time. We're already eating. You may say, but I don't know what to say. Then listen. Just listen. Get to know them. You may say, but I don't like to have people in my house. To that I say, then eat out. But I can't cook. Then order in. But I don't have time to clean up so the place is fit for guests. I don't have time to fix something fancy enough for our guests. You trying to bless them or impress them? Oh, you like that, huh? Really? I mean, my wife and I say this a lot. We don't have time, right? Our house is a mess. But really, who are we trying to impress somebody or bless somebody? I'm too shy and introverted to sit at someone's table that I don't know very well. The conversation is not going anywhere, and I don't really feel comfortable. Then to that I say, take somebody with you. What would Memphis be like? What would your neighborhoods be like if our growth groups, when we had our fellowship meals, turned it into a block party and invited our neighbors to come and cook out with us? Some of you do that. Or invited your friends to come and just eat and set aside the Bible study for that night and just eat with each other as missionary eaters to bless people. Take a friend with you if you're shy or introverted and you don't know what to say. Take someone who can't stop talking with you. It is worth pushing. What's that? No, I was thinking of some, but I thought, they know who they are. I'm not going to. It is totally worth pushing through these excuses to get out of our comfort zones so that we can allow God to bless others through our eating with them. Don't forget what's at stake here. What's at stake is the mission of God. Our mission to bless the world because we have been blessed. Here's a hard question to answer, a difficult thing to look at. If you knew the only thing standing between you and your coworker's salvation was a meal, what would you do about it? If you knew that a meal is the one thing your neighbor needs to have with you in order to come to know Jesus, what would you do about it? Every one of you would say, I would have that neighbor over to my house. I would take him out to eat. I'd bring food to him. Well, guess what? That could very well be the case. Eating is the doorway to relationship. And you can't walk through the door unless the door is open. We can bless the world through beginning our days with prayer, through listening, and through eating. We'll get to the other two in the next 2 weeks. But right now, it's just blah. B-L-E. Begin with prayer, listen, and eat. We can change the world. We can change our world, our neighborhoods, by eating as missionaries and following the example of Jesus. So, let's eat our way into the kingdom of God and bring others with us. Father, thank you so much for how Jesus came and He set aside his preferences. He set aside his power and his glory in order to get on our level, to eat at our tables. Sinners who don't deserve, we don't deserve you to be sitting with us, serving us, and eating with us. Would you show us this week, Lord, somebody who we can have coffee with? Maybe one of those divine appointments we talked about a couple weeks ago, that people you just put in our path. Maybe have coffee with that person or invite them to eat. Think about our neighbors who don't know you, or maybe we don't even know where they are spiritually. And our coworkers, our schoolmates. I keep thinking of the image of the school cafeteria and what a mission zone that is. Open our eyes to eating opportunities where we can bless somebody and just be like Jesus and eat with sinners. And we pray this through Christ's name. Amen. There's lots of food left on some of these tables, so you can keep eating. And I'm sure it'll end up with the teenagers tonight at Lyft, if there's any left over. Let's stand together. We're going to have a song of encouragement. And I'm going to be in the very back with some of our shepherds. If anybody would like to pray about anything, just come on back here during that song.